Let us pray. God, we pray that you will help us do your mission, do your work, not in our strength, but in yours. Amen. Please do be seated. So today is Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost Sunday we always remember what happened in Acts 2. Acts 2 is an amazing account of how the church changed completely through what the Holy Spirit was doing through them. And there's a bit in the story which I kind of forgot, and as I was reading it, preparing for a sermon, I remembered it. And it said, it all starts with a loud noise, and that's why the people around them come and see what's happening. And I kind of had forgotten that actually it was such an overwhelming supernatural thing that there was a loud noise and people from around were saying, what's happened here? And they kind of all came to see what's happened. It's a bit like if you hear kind of a train crash or something, it's a big noise. And what do? You go and see what's happening, see if you can help, see what's just happened. And that's what happened. And as they arrive, they hear people speaking in their own languages. And they find it very strange because actually these people were all Galileans, so they're thinking, why is this Galilean speaking in my own language? And why? What's happening here? It's a bit like if you went to a different country and suddenly you had a group of people from that country and they were speaking in different language, and you're with a Dutch person and a German person and a Spanish person, and they're all hearing someone speaking in your own language. What's this about? And so it's a very strange situation that's happening over there. But the thing is, what they're saying is they're talking about the wonders of God. They're saying how amazing God is. And the other strange thing is that as they come, they don't leave. It's not like they say, oh, this is too strange, I'm off. Oh, there's a group of people speaking in different languages, I'm going to leave. Actually, it says just some of them were laughing and saying, what are these people drunk? But most of them, seems that they just stayed to see what was happening. And why would they stay if they see a group of people speaking in different languages? I think they stayed because actually God's presence was there. And there's nothing as attractive as God's presence. There's nothing that kind of draws us more into wanting to know more than God's peace in our life. And in Pentecost, it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings love and brings peace and brings joy and brings all these things we are so attracted to. And that's why I think all the people stayed, even if they found it a bit strange. And I would find it very strange if I were in that situation. Can you imagine being in that situation? Can you imagine going back in time and being in that place and suddenly have these people speaking in different languages? It is strange. But if you stay, it's because there's something there that's drawing you, that's attracting you. And that's God's love. And that's God's story throughout the whole of the Bible, is Him attracting us with His love and with His presence. And there's nothing as attractive as God's presence. And a bit of history about Pentecost, which is very interesting, is in Pentecost, they're celebrating actually two feasts. They're celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. And they're also celebrating the time when, this is the Jewish celebration, what they're all celebrating. And they're celebrating the remembrance of when God gave them the law, when God spoke to them, when God came and told them, okay, this is what it's all about, and He gave them the Ten Commandments. There's a very interesting parallel between God getting them out of Egypt, freeing them from the slavery in Egypt, for them to go and worship Him in the desert, and giving them the Ten Commandments, giving them the law, speaking to them. But it's actually, at that time, He spoke through Moses, and they all heard. And then, in Pentecost, we have a very strong parallel, in which Jesus died on the cross to give us freedom from sin, and freedom from everything around us, to be able to have a relationship with Him. But then in Pentecost, He is speaking to them, but not only to one person, but to all of them. And He's not only acting through one person, but through all of them. And He's not only giving them a command, but also going with them to fulfill that command. And it's a lovely shift from actually them having to live in their strength and trying to follow a set of rules, to actually going in the strength, in God's strength, out to share his love with people around them. And I love this shift. And one thing I love about Pentecost is that up to then, Jesus had his disciples, and he'd say, okay, you two go to that city and do this, and all of you go over there and do that. And they were kind of sent to go by themselves to do things in different places and then come back and speak to Jesus about it and say, look, Jesus, this went well, this didn't work. Okay, what do we do next time? But in Pentecost, there's another shift in which the one who's sending them out is actually going with them as well. And that's really powerful, and that's really liberating to know that when in Pentecost the Holy Spirit is sending them out to go and love people around them, but he's also going with them. And that's amazing, but that means that wherever we go and whatever we do, we have him with us. And therefore, when we are called to love someone and to do something that's out of our comfort zone, and when we are called to go out, actually, we're going, but the one who's called us, the one who owns a mission, the one who actually wants to love that person and to bless that person, is also going with us. And isn't that amazing that we're not alone, that we don't have to do it alone? And that's what Pentecost is all about, is shifting from having to do things by ourselves in our strength to actually going with God and being sent by God and him being there with us. It is actually amazing when you think about it. So if you think about your children or grandchildren or people you know who are struggling and you don't really know what to do and how to share with them that God is with them, actually the God who calls us to share with them is the same God that goes with us, and it's with us at that moment. And he is the one who is most interested in sharing his love with people around us. And that's the beauty, I think, of Pentecost, that God sends us, but he goes with us. And as these kind of strange things are happening and people aren't sure what's happening, Peter stands up and is going to give a message about what is this all about. And another lovely thing here is that actually we remember Peter spoke, but the Bible says that Peter and the 11 stood up. And they all stood up together, and then Peter spoke, but they were all there standing together. They were one when they're doing God's work. It was not just one person alone doing God's work, but it was the 12 of them doing God's work. And that's another lovely thing about Pentecost, is that we are not called to do God's work and to love people by ourselves. We're called to do it together. So Peter reads a passage in Joel and says, which says, and you can find it in your Bibles if you want. It's Acts 2, verse 17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And if you see all of this passage, it's about doing God's work in God's strength with God's gifts. Because basically what this passage shows us, that we can't do it in our strength. We can't say speak in tongues in our strength or prophesy in our strength or see wonders in our strength. We need God. We need God to work with us. We need to do it in his strength. And that is what Pentecost is all about. And it's so liberating to know that it's not our strength, and it's ultimately it's not our full responsibility either. It's God's mission, it's God's call. He's the one who wants to do it, and he invites us to join in. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever organized an event, you probably have, but whenever I organize something, I ask different people if they could like to do things, so they're all responsible for different little areas. So one's responsible, so say the service today, Tim is responsible for the leading, and he is the kind of responsible first person for the service. But a few of us are doing little things as well. A few of us are doing our part. But at the end of the day, we are not responsible for the service. Tim is. Sorry, Tim. But so if someone doesn't do it 100% correctly, or you forget something, you know at the end of the day it's someone who's responsible, who's there to help you out. And that's God's mission. God is responsible. It's His. He wants to love. He wants to share His love much more than we do. And we just do our little bit. But it's so liberating to know that actually He's the one doing it and He's the one with us. But He gives us gifts and He gives us talents to be able to use for His kingdom. And that's what Peter's talking about, the different gifts and talents people have to share with Him. But I think as Christians, and this is a very natural thing to do, we tend to forget this and start working in our strengths again. And we start doing things in our strengths and we start putting all this burden on us because we feel we are ultimately responsible for God's mission. And what happens in Pentecost is showing us that we need to depend on Him. It's His mission. It's His work. So my kind of quote for today, which I've been thinking about, and I think it's quite good, is that Pentecost is a shift from doing things in our strength to doing things in God's strength. And that's what we see when the Spirit is working through those disciples. It's not their strength. It's them being available. It's them saying, okay, I'm responsible for this little bit, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for the big thing. But it's the beginning of something great in the church life. It's a beginning, many people call it the beginning of the church as such, and it's when God starts moving in a very powerful way. And I think in many ways, Pentecost is a bit like in the Second World War. You know, in the Second World War, Hitler falls, but there's still captives all around Europe. There's still kind of people who are imprisoned and people who still haven't heard the news that Hitler has fallen. And there's still Nazi regime all around, but Hitler has already fallen and the victory is already there. It's just going to take a bit of time till everyone starts celebrating and the news starts spreading out and people are able to be free again and realize, actually, we've won the war. Actually, we are free again. And I think Pentecost is a bit like that. Jesus, in his dying and raising up again, he has won the victory. And then Pentecost is that the news starts spreading out and suddenly this ripple of everyone hearing what God has done starts bringing life to the people around them. And that's Pentecost. It's a movement from recognizing what Jesus did, but then spreading the news away, spreading the love away, spreading the joy everywhere. And I'm sure there was so much joy that day when people heard that Hitler had fallen. But we need to do it in God's strength. And therefore, it's nice to hear Jesus' words again, which we just read. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And therefore, if we want to do God's work, we need to ask him to fill us with his love, with his peace, with his Holy Spirit, to be able to do it. I know we're all aware that there's people around us who are lonely, who are hurting, who don't feel loved, who don't feel valued, who are broken, and who just need to encounter God, just need to encounter the source of love, the source of peace, the source of joy, the one who will make them understand that if they feel not valued, the one will tell them, you know what, I love you. I love you so much that I died for you. You're an important son or daughter of mine. They need to know that peace and that presence that attracted those people around the disciples in Pentecost to come and to stay. And that's what the people around us need. And what we need is the Holy Spirit to help us to do it in his strength and not in ours. So shall we pray and just ask God to fill us with his presence so that we might go out and share it with others? Let's pray. Father, you knew that those first disciples couldn't do your mission in their own strength. You knew that they needed your Holy Spirit. And Father, you know that we can't do your mission, your work, share your love in our own strength. We need your Holy Spirit as well. So I pray, Father, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit once again today. That you will give us your peace and your love and your joy and your gentleness and your faith. You'll also give us your gifts to be able to do your work in the church, outside, and everywhere. Fill us anew this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.